The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, girls, come on over here. Sit in front of me. Okay. Good. So, okay, one person at a time, please. And it's me. Yesterday, a group of us got together to talk about what? That Jesus did amazing things. Can you tell me one amazing thing that Jesus did? I want to start with somebody else. You had your answer. One amazing thing that Jesus did that we talked about yesterday?
He helped the crabby people.
And what happened with those crabby people in the very beginning, Sam? What happened by the end? They were very grumpy and crabby at the beginning. And at the end? They weren't crabby anymore because they heard the good news that God loves them very much. And we talked about communion. And we have communion. We have bread and wine. Sometimes we have grape juice instead of bread. And we made bread yesterday. And we made it in the shape of pretzels. And Izzy and Gabby had to leave 3 minutes before the pretzels were out of the oven. So they're getting theirs now. Beautiful, by the way.
They're really good.
And they're very good.
They're not that good.
They're good with mustard, though. So we talked about communion, and we talked about receiving communion. Now, you girls have been receiving communion for a while,
yeah.
And so we renewed your education and talked about communion. Today, Izzy and Gabby are going to receive communion for the first time, so I want you girls to stand up and let the congregation say, "Welcome to the table." So stand up and let them look at you. Welcome to the table. So the girls are receiving their communion for the first time today, and the rest of us will continue to receive communion and continue to have that love that God has for us so much. And when we receive communion and we put out our hands and receive it,
we say amen
afterwards, which means
that it is true.
What you just said is true, and I believe it. That's what amen means. So when I say to you, "This is the body of Christ given for you," and you say amen, and you receive it. We don't take communion, we receive communion, because we receive God's love for us. So thank you for being a good example for us, for learning about First Communion, about God's outpouring of love, and reminding all of us how very important it is that we receive communion, and that we are together in God's body of Christ, that we are together in the family of God. So now you get to go to Sunday school. You might taste that during Sunday school.
Reading from Isaiah. "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 80 responsibly. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
You have brought us.
Cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land.
The
you stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. Wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted.
Glory to God. Amen.
A reading from Philippians. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the people, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
I was persuaded the other day to realize something about this passage. Well, I wasn't really persuaded. I swallowed it wholesale. I went to see Bev last week, and she gave me a critical insight into thinking about this passage. I told her, "This one is hard. I cannot reconcile so much violence with the telling of the gospel." But Bev, with all the confidence that only someone who can see the human story that is contained in the scriptures, unlike me who can't get past the first word without overthinking it, she said, "Well, Thomas, this parable is about the givers and the takers." I was flustered for a little while, but highfalutin theology. And it was well put by Bev. The parable that Jesus tells really challenges the takers of this world. Despite who the characters of this story that Jesus tells could be, it is difficult for me to see this story not somehow revealing the character of God in conflict with the takers of this world. And despite any hope to see some all-loving, all-forgiving landowner appear from this story, the situation for those tenants looks rather grim. We could think of this as Jesus challenging those leaders. Already he has called them out for not believing in John and held them to account for not taking responsibility for their words and actions. We could see this as Jesus' threat to them, that they will fall on the cornerstone and be shattered. The situation looks grim for them. But maybe the answer they give misses the point. Jesus is not threatening their lives, but he is threatening their entitlement. The tenants of this parable are certainly feeling entitled. Despite the fact that they tend the land as renters, they act as if it is their own. They act as if it should be their own. They act as if what was given to them in lease is theirs for the taking. And so they do not mind taking more from the landowner. They go out of their way to kill and to maim. They mete out their entitlement through violence. And maybe that entitlement is what Jesus is on about here. Entitlement is destructive to life. And if the leader's answer is correct, that Jesus is speaking to, the lives of those tenants will be snuffed out. That's not very good news to me. But maybe the good news is not what is in the parable. Maybe it is in its telling and our being forced to rectify the image to which Jesus calls our attention with our sense of what God's justice is. Isn't that what he is asking at the end of this parable? Hear this again. What do you think the landowner will do to those tenants? What would be the just thing for him to do? What is our answer? What do you think the landowner would do? What do you expect he could do? What if you were the landowner? And are any of the solutions we can come up with just? It depends on our view of justice. Having a God that says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," that offers us an image of a wrathful retribution that accords well with the type of justice that the leaders are advocating. After all, they are waiting for a Messiah who will put all enemies of Israel to the sword. But we also know what God desires in making new covenants with his people. "They will be my people, and I their God," again. "And I will remember their sin no more." What do you think the landowner will do to those tenants? think we're caught in the middle of this answer of justice because we see these two parts of God's justice in the Bible. It's really hard to rectify those two things together. And why not? We have the image of a cross. We have the image of torture and of violence that tells us only that sin deserves death. And that sin is, the wages of sin is death. That's not very good news. But we also have a God that says that beyond this cross there is life. That in this cross there is life for each and every one of us. That is the hope for change. That God's love is a part of that change that we can all be part of. That we can inherit that love from God, that we can see that love poured out on the cross despite its violence, despite the reality of its history in our world and the violence that ensues over and over again. There has to be a hope for change. Perhaps the love of God is the way that we can make this change happen. Last week, a man, Stephen Paddock, brought his arsenal, his stockpile of weapons, to Las Vegas and ruined countless lives and wrought destruction. He brought weapons that, if you used them to hunt, much of the animal wouldn't be there anymore. It'd be wasted. He brought weapons that have no use except for the destruction of life. I can imagine this man as a tenant in a watchtower, picking off the people that are coming to take away what he thinks is his. We've seen things like this before, too. What possible gain could there be to destroy so many lives? What possible gain could there be for these tenants to kill all these people that the landowner sends? Part of the horror of this man's act of violence is that we cannot put a motive to the atrocity. Part of the terror of this parable is that the violence meted out by the tenants doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Let me ask you a few questions. Was Stephen Paddock entitled to take another person's life? Is anyone entitled to have the capacity, as he did, to take so many lives? And yet, are we entitled to have even some capacity to take life? That sort of entitlement to destructive power doesn't make sense to me. And when I try as I can to understand some of the ideas and make sense of some of these ideas that have been unleashed this year and coming up, I cannot do anything but become frustrated. I cannot see a point to turning back to a time before we loved our Jewish neighbors and our Muslim neighbors. I cannot see a point to that. I cannot make sense of why the creation should be ignored and carelessly destroyed for short-term control of resources. I can't make sense of that. I cannot understand why women would still face degradation and destruction of their bodies in some places when we have supported education and trusted in the potential of every human for good, despite gender. I cannot make sense of why so many people fall through the cracks, that people become slaves to fear in every part of this world because of gun violence and psychological terror. I can't make sense of that. And I cannot make sense of a people that have not learned from history the human capacity to keep others down because of what they look like or because what they believe. Maybe you too have struggled with some of these things. Struggled to make sense of some of the atrocities in our world. And it's so easy to see the anger and frustration in others, and all I can think sometimes is that I can only be angry too. Live by anger, die by anger. And anger is no way to live, is it? It destroys. And in anger, I become entitled to my opinion, and I forget that I am not alone in this world. And I could forget that I am without people who make my living possible. I could forget that this is not my doing, that I have life. I have the capacity to become like the tenants in a vineyard and take from others to keep my sense of entitlement. And taking is destructive. One loss cannot return balance. We know that. There is only net loss. We cannot take anything from the earth and expect whatever was taken will be refilled. The tenants in the vineyard took so many lives that couldn't be gotten back. Those lives were lost. The life that we have lost this last week, in the last months, in the last years and millennia, we can't get those back. There is no justice in taking life, just as there is no justice in taking the means for life from other people. What should the landowner do? Will the taking of these tenants' lives and giving the land to others justify the loss of his slaves or his son? Would God's smiting the leaders Jesus confronts be just? Would it? We do not know a vengeful, angry God in the person of Christ Jesus. We do not know another taker in our Lord. We know only one who gives from the endless abundance he received from his Father. And we too receive from an endless supply of life-giving faith. Faith that the future can be changed. Faith that in love that we can hope for violence to end in all its forms. We know the justice that God gives is always life-giving. In Christ, our capacity to take is replaced by our capacity to receive and to give. It is God's justice that we receive our neighbors who we cannot make sense of and give of ourselves. It is God's justice that we receive one another for no other reason but that we share that life given to us by our Lord. It is in receiving that we do not take anything for granted, anything. Because in receiving the endless love of God, we learn how to give it and give it freely. And God renews life and restores hope, gives new life in hope. Even a tenant who rebels against his landowner, kills and destroys, can receive another chance and hope, can receive the people the landowner sends, and give what is owed. Thanks be to God.